Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's Oxford Biomedica Interim Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you do wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 17th of August, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speakers today, John Dawson, CEO, and Tim Watts, CFO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much and good morning. Glad to see you all here this morning. I've come to our results conference for the first half of 2017. Just on process today, first of all, we'll do the presentations, myself and Tim, then we'll go to questions from the room, and then we'll go to questions from the phone lines. So, into the presentation, looking forward, we'll be making statements today which are looking forward and cannot be relied upon. Operational highlights of the business. We've had a very good first half of 2017. I think I worked with Novartis, probably speaks for itself so far this year with the things that have happened, the press releases. We've seen the BLA accepted by the FDA, the ODAC meeting, and our more recent 6th of July new contract with Novartis there for commercial supply. We were granted the MHRA licence as well for our lentiviral vector manufacturing supply on a commercial basis, so that's a big step forward for us too. Very recently, we've got a new £2 million grant from Innovate UK, collaboration there with three other parties to enhance our lentivector suspension program. And we also had some recognition of our TRIP system. Our transgene repression in-vector production yield enhancement technology there was published in Nature Communications. And of course, not to forget them, very importantly, our in-house programs, we're still working on those, spending modestly there to get ready for phase 1-2 trials. And we're still working with other parties to pursue SPVs and out-licensing. So over the page, slide 4, our update on Novartis since March 17. I think some big things have happened in that particular part of our business. In March 17, the FDA accepted the BLA filing for paediatric ALL. And in July 17, we saw the FDA ODAC meeting vote unanimously in favour of approving and recommending the approval of CCL19 as well. And interestingly here, the meeting did tell delegates to consider the safety side because efficacy had already been proved. We expect a potential approval here by early October, and we'll hear and see this launched, and we'll also start getting royalties from that point forward. The CTL19 is also an additional indication, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. In June 17, the Juliet study was presented, and it showed a 45% three-month overall response rate. The FDA granted this indication, breakthrough therapy designation, and funds expected both Europe and the US in late 17 to be launched in 18. But a big step for the business as well this year was on the 6th of July we signed a new commercial supply agreement with Novartis. It's a 3-year agreement for commercial and clinical supply, but also can be extended by mutual consent of the parties to 5 years. This gives us potential revenues of $100 million with an upfront of $10 million at that point in time, which is already in the bank. Onto our platform, again, some big steps for us there. Part of the BLA process for CTL19 was the FDA pre-license inspection. That was a big few days for us, very important. I'd like to happy to say we passed that. Some of the guys back at base deserve some profound thanks for that. Some people gave up their lives to get us through that particular inspection. We have it in place, so it's a big step for the business. We've also, as I said earlier, got now the MHRA license to manufacture and distribute lentiviral vector material for commercial supply. We're also working out on our next generation of bioprocessing. We're using a single-use, serum-free, 200-litre bioreactor process, which is a massive step forward for us. Larger volumes, less permanent clean rooms, higher yield per unit of output, but this gives us all put together a tenfold reduction in the cost of vector per patient, and that can be bettered, we think, potentially, but a massive step forward for the business, this, and this gives us a massive advantage in the world of lentivector. Again, not to forget our TRIP yield enhancement, as I spoke about a few minutes ago. This suppresses undesirable overexpression of therapeutic genes during the production process. And what this will do for us is give us a potential tenfold improvement in yield. So what I've just talked about there is two ways of taking down the cost of goods per vector per patient down tenfold. So 20-fold reduction in the cost of goods per patient when all things are working. The beauty of TRIP, of course, is as well, it can work in AAV as well as Lenti, so we expect to do quite a few deals around this with other partners. Future partnerships. Well, that's very important to go to those and talk about those today as well. We've spoken about this in the past, but these deals don't get announced in a day. They take probably a year to get ready in feasibility. So there are some guys we've been working now for 12 months on and with We've been proving what we can do with them, and we expect to sign further deals in 17 and 18 because we are proving we can make these things work and go forward. So effectively there, we expect to bolster our business and expand what we do significantly over the coming 12 months. I've said this before, but I think one of the biggest PR machines we have out there, apart from Xilium, of course, is actually what we do with Novartis and how they talk about us at conferences. Now, we've had some spectacular results this year with Novartis. It's been great. If you look at the activity in lentivector clinical trials, graph to the right-hand side of slide 6, you can see there's a number of trials starting in the various phases over the years. They've grown quite significantly. The logos on the slides there would show you all the companies, or a selection, I should say, of companies working in lentivector clinical trials currently. The ticks indicate those which we have deals with. We are talking to a lot more at this time, and the phones are quite busy for our BD department. So at the moment, we expect to do further deals, as I said earlier. And it's quite exciting where we can go with this. Going to our in-house development pipeline, we are continuing to work on 102 in Parkinson's, 202 in corneal graft rejection, and 302 our CART approach to 5T4 antigen for solid tumours. And we're getting these ready for clinical trials. To focus down on OXB-102, we are currently making improvements to our delivery device. In the second half of this year, we'll file that dossier to the MHRA for approval of the device, and we'll make a second batch of vector so we can complete the phase 1-2 trial when it starts. We expect to start treating patients as early as the beginning of 2018. For all three of those products, we still are exploring financial partnerships there. We have people looking at the drugs quite carefully, and we hope to have news for you as that moves forward. But we do continue to make modest investment in these products to drive them forward and keep momentum going to make sure we maximise value here for shareholders within the business. Slide 8 takes you to the product pipeline. And again, there's three sections to that. We've spoken about this before. We have the proprietary products. And again, there's three priority products there, the 102, 202, and 302. We plan to spin those out as special purpose vehicles or out-license them. But this will continue to grow as we work in research and discovery to bring other ideas through from our team discovering new drugs. So effectively there, we have other ideas to bring forward. We have two drugs with Sanofi for Stargardt disease, Usher syndrome 1B. Both of these will bring us in the future, development milestones and royalties, and Stargardt disease is now in phase 2. But the section we intend to grow further will be the partners products. And again, to clarify this, the long-term financial interest in partners products there by taking royalties after they've launched going forward, as well as their process development revenues and bioprocessing revenues, as well as in the business model we're using at the moment, upfronts as well. So we have two drugs with Novartis for three indications, I should say, two drugs with Immune Design, two drugs with Orchard Therapeutics, and GSK have taken access to our patents, will pay us royalties in the future, to work in two rare orphan diseases. At that point, I'll pass to Tim to talk about the numbers.
Thank you very much, John. Good morning, everybody. The financial highlights are that the revenue in the first half of 2017 increased by 26% over that of 2016, so revenue hit £15.7 million. And the operating loss was reduced to £2.2 million from £6.9 million in the first half of 2016. The cash outflow following that, before the financing activities, reduced to £2.2 million. And as we announced at the end of June, we've refinanced the original debt facility that we had with improved terms, the new facility being $55 million provided by Oaktree Capital Management. Cash at the cash position at the 30th of June 2017 was that we had £10.2 million, but at that point we hadn't received the $10 million upfront from Novartis. Remember, we announced that deal on the 6th of July. We've since received that $10 million. We also received the 2016 R&D tax credit in July. Last year that came in June. Those have essentially pushed the cash balance up to $22 million, and obviously a reasonably healthy position. So if we look at slide 11, these are two charts for gross income and the earnings before interest, depreciation and amortization that we used at the March full year results presentation, and really just wanted to show the continuation of the trend. So the gross income, up on the first half of 2016, slightly down on the second half of 2016, but you'll notice that the bioprocess and commercial development revenues, which I would describe as the relatively predictable and the sort of core of the business now, has grown not just over the first half of 2016, but also over the second half of 2016. What tends to bounce around a little bit at the moment is the more lumpy, somewhat unpredictable license upfronts, incentive payments for yield improvement activities in commercial development, and also grant income. And the chart below is the earnings. It's an adjusted earnings before EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. But what we've done there is, as we did in March, is to add back in the tax credit that we get on an amortized basis. And you can see that on that basis, the chart is, the outflow, if you like, the cash outflow from that measure has moved from negative into positive territory for the first time. Moving over the page, we also showed the segmental analysis in March, and again I wanted to just to show the continuation of the trend of the partnering segment, where the gross income is increasing, and the EBITDA has gone up slightly from the second half of last year, as has the operating profit and loss. So really beginning to establish that business as a profitable and cash-generating operation. The R&D segment, on the other hand, continues to be a negative on the business, because this is where we are investing on our own account. But what I would point out in the first half of 2017 is that you can see that the gross income is down compared to 2016 half years, but the operating loss and the EBITDA are about the same or slightly less than they were last year. And essentially what that's showing you is that the cost difference between the gross income and the loss is reduced. So in other words, the costs have gone down in the first half of 2017, which is, I think, sort of in line with what we trailed that we would do. So with that, I will hand back to John to conclude the presentation.
Thank you, Tim. So looking forward 12 months to potential catalysts. First of all, Novartis. We expect the approval to happen of CTR19 for pediatric ALL and the product launch, and therefore royalties to start to flow to us. We expect also to see submission of DLBCL for approval both in Europe and the US, and also the second CART program, which we can't talk about what it actually is today, but we expect to enter the clinic in the coming 12 months as well. Onto our delivery platform, I think it's so important where we go with that. The further contracts with new and existing customers we believe will come in and give us long-term economic interest in partners' products going forward. But again, absolute backbone of our business model now is establishing this 200-litre bioreactor CMV suspension platform to produce lentiviral vectors at a much lower cost of goods for vector per patient. And we're talking about there a tenfold reduction. For our own products in-house, we'll spin these out and take them forward with other parties to actually get them into the clinic and drive them towards commercialisation as quickly as possible. So onto slide 14. What we do here is we give a vision of our view of the company by the end of 2018, where we should be. Three columns there, the first talking about the platform R&D. And we expect to bring further candidates forward from our research and discovery, bringing us forward to the point of finishing pre-clin, ready for phase 1-2, and then spin them out. Moving on to our work with Green Cross Lab Cell, by the end of 2018, we expect to have identified the lead candidate for natural killer cells and be taking that forward. But of course, we will continuously develop our lentivector platform as well, because the reason we are probably the leading company with lentivector in the world at the moment is because we do keep pushing the boundaries. I talked today about the bioreactors and the TRIP systems. We'll keep finding new things all the time to keep us at the forefront of lentivector activity. If we do all these things, we believe we'll get further contracts in this part of the business. Onto the product pipeline, if we do the successful spin-outs and finance these drugs, we believe we've taken the three priority products forward to phase 1-2 trials. For Novartis, we'll see CTR19 launched. We'll be the sole supplier of commercial material, the vector. We'll be getting royalties in there from the indications of ALL and potentially DLBCL as well. The second CART product will be in the clinic, and we expect to have further CART programs passed down to us by Novartis. For Sanofi, the Stargardt disease drug should be in the pivotal trial by then. LB305 with immune design should be in clinical development. And moving on to Orchard Therapeutics, AGA-SCID should then be close to completion of the pivotal trial, and MPS3A should be in clinical development. And we believe we'll do further partnerships in this area too. So to the complete right-hand column there, if we do all of this, we believe we'll be having our facilities running at high capacity. So in summary, going to the last slide of the pack, number 15, we are a leading gene and cell therapy company now, and we believe that the area of gene and cell therapy will grow to be a multi-billion dollar sector in the next 5 to 10 years. Arbactus, Lentivirus, have unique advantages for cell and gene therapy, and our Lentivector gene delivery system is sought after by many parties to work with them in their in vivo and ex vivo products. We have a world-class set of bioprocessing facilities and an excellent collaboration track record. And the big thing for us is, as well, is our product interest, both clinical and also the interest in partners products. This long-term financial interest allows us to grow significant value in the business around this part of our activities. Thank you very much, and any questions?
John, maybe I could start.
Please do.
I was interested to see what you were saying about the improved real opportunity in bioprocessing. I may be wrong, but I think I remember the defining for acute lymphoblastic leukemia was based on process A.
Yeah, we call them process A and process B.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, how quickly can you start to benefit from process enhancements if some of the clients are already being based and some of the work is already being based on the old process? How should we think about how those benefits are going to actually accrue relative to the...
Well, that's an excellent question. Any new customer coming in at this point in time?
Just reiterate what the question was.
Okay.
It's around the scale up and movement from process A to process B.
Okay. So any new customer coming to us tends to go straight into process B. With Novartis, the second drug we're working on is going to process B. CTL19 is in process A, and there will be at some point a transfer across to process B. That's not completely defined time wise yet.
Sorry, the TRIF yield advancement as well, is that similar time? Obviously that's a bit more of a new advancement than process B. What kind of timeline do you think for bringing that on board?
We are testing that out currently, and some partners are testing that as well, so we don't believe that's too far away from being active.
And then, just as a follow-up, you alluded to quite a number of potential opportunities for further partnerships on slide 6. Can you just give us some context, given how much of your current capacity is going to be required by Novartis, what are the limits on how you could potentially move forward with some of these other players?
And for those people on the call that can't necessarily hear the questions that are coming from the floor, the question from Amy is now around future potential partnerships and what's the capacity versus the work going on with Novartis.
Again, to address that, with process B, we have significant potential to expand what we can do. On top of that, there is potential as well to run two bioreactors in one suite, and therefore on the same drug, of course, so we could therefore exponentially increase our capacity by doing that, and then transferring all of our GMP suites across to bioreactors would then give us more capacity yet again as well. If we go further than that and have more deals to take us further, then we'd be into a business case of thinking about what we have to do next and how to expand.
Yes, on the kind of part, looking at your product pipeline, are companies more interested in spinning that out and taking their own products forward with your technology?
I'd say we're getting a lot of interest around working with people around our Lentivector platform for their products, but again, there's an awful lot of interest in our own products as well. So I'd say our BD guys are pretty busy on both.
I don't want to monopolise you, but something else that I thought was interesting was the allusion and the TRIPS, just picking up on the previous question, to work that you've been doing beyond lentivirus, so adenovirus and adeno-associated viruses.
To clarify there, we believe TRIP works with those as well. We don't think we're not working in AAV currently ourselves.
I see.
We can license it out to help yield for AAV vector.
I see. So you haven't done any work in that area. You're proposing that it could be done by others.
We know it could be done, but actually we don't do it ourselves. We work purely in lentivector at this point in time.
Tim, could you just flesh out a little bit more about the revaluation of the orchid therapeutics for checkpoint on numbers, and what the trigger for that revaluation was?
So for those on the call, the question was about the revaluation of the investment in orchid therapeutics. I'm not going to say a huge amount of that. As we say in Note 8, Orchard is a private company, and the basis for the revaluation is not visible from public information, but suffice it to say, you know, we believe that it is justified.
If I just come back on that, I couldn't find any fundraise that all should have done, which is the normal trigger point. And equally, if you compare the to your 1.95% holdings worth of values orchard of £160 million, so when you put that with what they've got in perspective of what you've got, there seems to be something not quite right there.
Yeah, as I said, Martin, the information is not publicly, you know, in the public domain. So the fact that you couldn't find anything just, I think, demonstrates that point.
Are you aware as to whether they have had a fundraiser?
I'm not going to get drawn any further.
Any other questions in the room? Okay, the phone lines.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And once again, that's star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Thank you. Okay, your first question comes from the line of Joe Pantaginis from H.C. Wainwright. Please ask your question.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the questions, and congratulations on the progress. A couple things, if you don't mind. First, with regard to the upcoming PDUFA, assuming a positive outcome and the drug is launched, CTL-019, are you ready to go today, or can you discuss any potential to-do list ahead of the launch with regard to your lentiviral production?
Interesting question. I can't go into too much depth on that, obviously, because we work so closely with Novartis, but we believe, ready for commercial supply, and we are supplying drug to them.
Got it. And then can you remind us, please, on the financial side, is there a milestone, and can you disclose the amount with regard to approval?
I'll pass that one to Tim.
But it's an easy answer, Joe. No, we don't have any milestone associated with Novartis's approval. That wasn't what they've incentivized us on. The incentives that we have been receiving from Novartis over the last 3 years, and I think we still have some more to come, is around the improvement of the process fundamentally and increasing the volumes. It's not about getting approval of the product.
Got it. Very helpful. And then last, with regard to your internal assets, you put out a little bit more information with regard to the work you've been doing for 102. Should we consider this just prep work? Was this work that was something that was potentially discussed with potential partners right now, or is there potential for you to start dosing patients yourself in 2018, as you mentioned?
At this point in time, we're on a strategy, as we spoke about clearly. We are taking the drugs forward, ready for phase 1-2. We plan to find spin-out vehicles for them or license them out before treating patients.
And with regard to the work that has been done, was this discussed with potential partners as to, you know, maybe a punch list that they might have wanted to see?
We believe we're doing the right thing to have the drug and the maximum value potential at this point in time by doing these things.
Got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sean Manning from Acacios Associates. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think Joe asked some of my questions. I'll come back to that in a second. But firstly, quickly, the EBITDA that you showed on slide 11, that's EBITDA, became positive over the first half of this year. Do you foresee it remaining positive going forward?
One for you, Tim.
Morning, Sean. I mean, I don't want to be definitive, but I think what I've tried to show both in March and today is a revenue trend which is trending upwards. We obviously, through the launch, we hope, of CTL-019, would expect volumes to, you know, continue to grow, and therefore the direction of travel for revenue should be continue to be positive. And I think then you draw your own conclusions precisely, or draw your own conclusions from, you know, what the EBITDA, and in due course the actual cash is going to do. But I think what we're showing is it's on a positive trend. I'm reluctant to get drawn into saying, you know, the second half will be X or the 18 will be Y.
Sure. Okay, I get that. And the second question, I mean, Joe touched on it, and you gave an answer about CTLA. I assume CTLA is going to have its own designated manufacturing line. And could you just remind us how many lines that you have in total at the moment, please?
We have 3 GMP suites currently, and 2 of those are Process A and 1 is Process B. We plan to adapt one of those across to Process B as well, one further as we go forward. Timeline's not yet defined, but as I say, it's the 3 GMP suites.
Okay, so one of those is going to be sort of offline while you're converting it to Process 2.
It's not a long-term process there. It's quite quick, so it won't be taken out for a long period of time when we decide to do it.
Right. So Novartis has approximately about 30% of your manufacturing capacity. Is that a fair assumption?
I wouldn't want to go into details on that. Probably a bit higher than that today, but then we'll do something that I'd give out today.
That's great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joel.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. Okay, there are no further questions. Please continue.
Thank you very much for having the call with us, and I hope this put across where we are after this 6 months. The final thing I'd like to do today is thank you all for attending, but also Tim's last meeting today on the results here today. He's stepping down, retiring in just a few weeks' time, so I'd like to thank him very much for all the effort and hard work he's put into the company. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you, John. It feels a bit like I've just been ambushed. But
thank you very much, everybody. Goodbye.
It's been a good experience.
Yeah. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.